Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the MM Forgings Limited Q4 FY22 post-results conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Annamalai Jayaraj from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of B&K Securities, welcome to MM Forgings Limited Q4 and FY22 post-results conference call. From the management side, we have with us today Mr. Vidyashankar Krishnan, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Venkatakrishnan, Chief Financial Officer. I'll now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks to be followed by question-and-answer session. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Jayaraj. Good afternoon. So we ended last year with record sales of 1,123 crores, up by 50% over the previous year level of almost 750 crores, and also a record profit after tax of 111.77 crores. Effectively, our EBITDA was 220 crores, registering a margin of around 19.61% on overall sales, with reduction in interest costs and also slightly higher depreciation. Net profit stands at 111.77 crores. Domestic sales grew by 50%, as also export sales, and production tonnage has grown by 28% as compared to FY21, and sales tonnage by about 36% compared to the previous year. Our sales per ton has grown from 1.54 lakhs to 1.73 lakhs per ton. These are some of the key figures of the performance of the year, and I would like to now throw the floor open for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question-and-answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
Okay. Until we receive a few more questions, I can rattle off a little bit more about our performance. Overall, the sales of forged components stood at about 50% and machined components at 51%. So 49% and 51%. Our sales of machined components have grown from about 43% in the previous year to 51% this year. This trend has held good across both domestic and export sales, with an increase of around 7% in each. Sales across continents: India stood at 46%, Europe 18%, US 20%, and South America and the rest of the world balance. Commercial vehicles stood at 85% overall, 10% passenger car, and non-auto at about 5%. So overall, we see that we are about 95% auto-dependent, and 5% non-auto. Out of this, 85% is CV and 10% is passenger car. We ended the year with an outstanding term loan of around 434 crores gross and less cash on hand, work or cash and cash equivalents. The net long-term debt is 243 lakhs. Working capital debt stands at about 245 crores. Sorry, instead of lakhs, put in crores. So 435 crores and 243 crores and working capital at 245 crores. Net debt including long-term and short-term stands at 488 crores. Okay, so just a little bit more of input before the questions start to come in.
Should we move on to the questions, sir?
Yeah, please.
Thank you. The first question is from the line of Krishna Kumar from Lion Health Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congrats, sir, on a good performance on its tough times. Having said that, so we have seen a sharp drop in gross margins and also on incremental sales, QOQ, within a fairly large hit from raw materials. So could you give us some color about how the pricing is taking over and what kind of margins from EBITDA perspective one can look at from a next year perspective?
Yeah. See, what has also happened is that there has been an increase in price of steel, in price of raw material from Q3 to Q4. So as the base keeps increasing, it might not be possible to elongate the margins as well. While the increase is passed on to customers, it cannot not always result in into a translation of higher margin or retention of margins because the numerator and the denominator grow at the same rate. So A by B becomes A plus delta by B plus delta, and that will not be the same as, in fact, the ratio will be less than A by B normally. So I'm saying normally. So we can look at margins around the level that we ended this year at, plus or minus a fraction. So around 19.5% plus minus 1% would be a targeted margin. But this depends a lot on raw material prices as well as freight. Now freight also goes up. Freight also gets added on, which means that these two don't add to the margins. So what happens is that numerator gets inflated, denominator gets inflated, but the delta between the two remains constant. So that is why you could see a small compression in margins, if I can use the word.
So could you give us some color about how the per ton EBITDA has moved, or is it probably being flattish? Are you being able to protect the per ton EBITDA and repeat, if that's what you mean? That.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Your audio sounding very soft. Can you speak a bit louder? We're not able to hear you.
Yeah. So I'm just asking, sir, whether the EBITDA per ton on a rupees per ton basis has been maintained since, that is a measure which will not be impacted by raw material per se.
Yeah, I'll come back to that number in a few minutes, Krish.
Sure. And also, if you can share some volume numbers, over the call, that will be helpful for participants, sir.
Sorry, what did you say the last one? Volume numbers.
Volume sales and production volumes for the full year and fourth quarter, if you can share, that will be helpful for the participants.
Oh, yes. Sure. I thought I did. I'll do that right now. I'll reiterate. The production for the year stood at 62,000 tons and sales at 66,000 tons.
Okay. And you had talked about fairly strong growth after the end of Q3 for FY23. Something like 80 to 90,000 tons compared to three. So how are we looking at the growth opportunity now, given the some changing environment in terms of demand Can you comment on that, sir?
Sure. Definitely, the outlook is slightly worse from an overall economic point of view in FY23 now as compared to what it was four, five months earlier. And actually, because of the war and the inflation that it has triggered and the consequent petering out or lessening of demand that is expected as a result of higher inflation. So, but notwithstanding that, I would still expect us to end up this year anywhere between 80,000 and 90,000 tons of production because of two reasons. One, a significant amount of our growth comes from the Indian market, which is looking pretty strong. Okay, even if there is a lag, we are launching or we have developed a slew of new products or have been developing new products over the last couple of years. All these products will hit the market, are continuing to come into production, serial production, even as we speak. So all that will be sales accretive. As a result, I would expect that we will achieve somewhere in the region of 80,000-90,000 tons, depending upon how the market goes. But broadly, I would still hold whatever we have been saying earlier.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much, and I'll come back.
Last year, if we can take, April was strong. May and June were very tight because of the second wave, the Delta wave. As a result, whereas we don't expect such a prospect in the months ahead.
Sure. Thank you, sir. I'll come back at the question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Sundar Sriram from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question, sir. So my first question is on the, you spoke about the steel price inflation per se. So how much is the under-recovery per se on a per-ton basis if you were to think about it? Under-recovery as in which will then pass on with a quarter lag or so? Hello. Am I audible?
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has got disconnected. Please stay connected while we reconnect the management.
The person you are speaking with has put your call.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We now have the line for the management reconnected. Over to you, sir. Mr. Sriram, may you repeat your question for the benefit of the management team?
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question, sir. My question was on the steel price inflation that you spoke about. On a per-ton basis, how much is the under-recovery or yet-to-be-recovered steel cost that is still pending from our end?
Hardly anything left, Sriram. Most of the steel costs have been recovered.
Okay. So, and are you seeing the steel price softening due to the government actions? So,
Government actions have even before it had started softening, but the actions by the government have accelerated the sharp fall, and surely steel prices are going to be much lower.
Okay. And we will have to pass on this immediately starting from this quarter itself, sir. Is that how that works from 1QF23, sir?
The same quarter-wise pricing.
One quarter lag.
Yeah. So 1st of April onwards, there's bound to be an increase. And from 1st of July, I would expect it to correct, including that increase. That increase is likely reversed.
Okay. Understood, sir. Sir, and this quarter, just to from a tonnage perspective, this quarter, we would have been 20,000 tons, sir? Sales tonnage? Because you said the full year was 65,000 tons, so 66,000 tons. So I'm just, if I exclude the numbers you have shared earlier, is it like 20,000 tons we have done from sales this quarter?
No, I think what I said was a slight this thing. 63,000 tons is sales and 61 is production. My bad. Now, for this quarter, we have done 18,000 tons of sales. And very similar production numbers, almost matching.
Understood, sir. Sir, and last quarter, we had 15,000 tons of sales, right, sir? That is what...
Correct.
So then the tonnage, so tonnage volume growth sequentially was around 20%, which means the realization on a per ton has dropped because of exports dropping, sir. Just from a mix perspective, I'm just trying to understand.
Overall, there is a drop of around 7,000 rupees per ton between Q4 and Q3.
Okay. And is this because of mix or is that any other factor?
Not any secular trend.
Okay.
And EBITDA, just to give some numbers, Krishna Kumar was asking, what is the EBITDA per ton? EBITDA per ton for the entire year stands at about 36,000 rupees, as against quick numbers of 30,000, around 30,000 levels the previous 3 years. So I would say EBITDA per ton has only gone up.
Sure, sir. Thanks for that. Sir, export revenue in F22, how much would that have been approximately?
540 crores.
Sir, and exports, we are. Is there any softening in exports per se that we are seeing, sir? Going into the next year from this level of 540 what we have clocked, is the expectation that exports will be lower than this number, or how are the schedules or your conversations with customers looking like at this point of time?
At this point of time, numbers are okay, but we do expect some amount of softening. Their basic demand, the end customer demand on our customers is still strong.
Okay. Maybe because of the order backlog that is there.
Yeah, they have a huge order backlog.
Understood, sir. That was helpful. One other aspect, sir. Employee cost has gone up quite meaningfully in F22 on a year-on-year basis. What is leading to that? Was there any wage revision per se that has happened most in the Q4 per se, or anything specifically from an employee cost that you can share, sir?
Yeah, overall, post-COVID, employee expectations have gone up. And as a result, we've seen employee costs going up.
Okay. So, should we expect this, in percentage, in comparison to growth in volumes, employee cost has been higher this year. So, how to think of employee cost going into the next couple of years, sir?
Some amount of rationalization of manpower will take place, and we expect to rein in the rise in employee costs.
Okay. Understood. So employee cost should be largely in line with the volume growth per se?
I would say this year, I'd be surprised if employee costs did not fall a little bit compared to growth.
Okay. So it should be slightly lower than the volume growth.
Slightly lower than volume growth.
Okay.
So there's some scope of EBITDA contribution from employee costs.
Understood. Got it. Sir, and the freight cost, you also spoke about the freight cost going up, meaning very significantly. We are also hearing that narrative from multiple exporters per se. How much would be freight cost for us in F22? It was around 19 crores in F21. Just trying to understand how much would have been the hit for us from a freight cost perspective.
Yeah. 19 crores in F21 versus 47 crores in F22.
Huh.
And assuming that there was a 50% growth in numbers, or 38% growth in numbers, so 19 into 30% will be about 26-27 crores. Whereas we've had a 20 crore increase beyond that.
Correct.
a 20 crore increase there means at 1,100 crores roughly 1.82%.
Got it, sir. And are we seeing further increase as well, sir? As we go into, as in from the Q4 levels also.
Credit costs have softened from the highs and have generally found better, you know, lesser levels now as compared to earlier.
Okay.
War is also putting pressure on vessels, as well as the zero COVID policy of China.
Got it, sir. So essentially, as we go into next year, and this freight cost we would have incurred, and this is something that we would not be able to pass on to the export customers or anywhere for that matter. Correct, sir? Is that a fair assumption?
Most of it is passed on to customers. Some portion we have also taken a hit. So roughly you can say that this would have contributed about 1% to EBITDA.
Okay, understood. Sir, and next year when we talk of this outlook of 80,000 to 90,000 tons, are we baking in any softness on the export side, or this outlook is primarily because of the domestic recovery that we are seeing on the truck side?
This outlook is based on the macroeconomic situation prevailing, reasonably stable as of, let's say, Q4 of this year, of the year under review. So that holds, then we should look at these numbers.
Sure,
sir. I'm adding the statement a little bit, is that these are really volatile times. So sure. India is definitely looking positive, very positive. This continues, certainly we should be looking at 80,000 plus, certainly.
Understood.
But what India had, if there is a softness in export markets, which is beyond what we see right now, that could be a little bit negative.
Got it, sir. Sir, just one last question. I will go back to the queue. Sir, you said realization has actually dipped around 7,000 rupees on a per ton basis sequentially. Is this because of product mix per se, or I'm just trying to understand what would have led to the realization drop, because underlying steel price has been going up. If you can share any perspective on that.
It is just due to product mix.
Okay. As we go to the lower tonnage per se, that is how we should think.
Maybe some lower tonnage products increased and unmachined products went up. So all that together will add to a slightly lesser realization.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir. And best wishes. I'll fall back to the queue.
Thank you.
The next question is in the line of Govind Parikh from GPSPL. Please go ahead.
Hi, Vijay Shankar and...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Parikh. We are not able to hear you clearly.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, we can.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Actually, I have two questions. I'll stick only to them.
Yes,
the first one is that with export duty levied in India, Indian steel gets much cheaper. So how our export contracts are placed, based on Indian steel or based on global steel prices?
Mostly, we have reverted to Indian steel prices. Mostly.
So they will revert to Indian steel prices?
Yes.
Okay. The second question is on CD markets. CD markets in India and US, if you can throw some light on them.
CD markets in India are expected to be at least 15% higher than previous year levels, at least, if not 30%. Okay. Markets in Europe are expected to be flat, perhaps slightly down, about 10%. Markets in the US, I would say, would be flat to 10% above.
Okay. Yep. Thank you very much.
All exports flattish and domestic good growth.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Subrata Sarkar from Mount Infra Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Sir, can you share the this content-wise breakup of the tonnage for this year, sir? That out of 63K, what is Indian tonnage and what is Europe and US tonnage, sir?
I can give you broad percentage numbers. I think that should suffice.
Yes, sir. Okay. In terms of volume, sir?
I gave it to you in terms of values. Volumes, I don't have it right now.
Okay, sir. Okay. No issue. At least, sir, rough estimate will also do, sir. If you, some.
You can broadly take it on the same percentage. You can broadly take it on the same percentages of the values or the percentage that I said okay, earlier.
Okay, sir. Please share the numbers, sir.
Yeah. Europe, India would have was at 46%. Europe, US and South America, US and Europe at 20% each, and that takes it to 86, and South America about 15%. South America and rest of the world 14%.
Okay. So when you are giving this outlook, sir, for India, Europe and US, so the US you mean also relevant for South America, or like what's the outlook on South America and rest of the world, sir? So you have told that India you expect at least 50%, 15% up to 30%. US is flat to marginally positive. So any outlook, sir, on South America and rest of the world, sir?
South America should follow a middle line between Europe and US.
Okay.
So flattish.
It should be flattish. So, sir, mainly we are expecting growth from India in that case for this year, sir.
Yeah. That's okay. Correct.
Perfect, sir. Okay. Sir, second question, sir. In that case, sir, one question, sir, if you can help me, is there any significant difference in EBITDA margin in terms of India to that of Europe, to that of exports, sir?
Generally, we don't go customers wise. Generally, I can say that export margins are better than. We don't look at it that way. And
okay, okay.
Broadly, I can say that export margins are better off than Indian margins. Broadly.
Perfect.
But then you have to look at product-wise, zone-wise, so customer-wise, so all it's too complicated.
Perfect, sir. Sir, the one question on the working capital side, sir, since we are expecting higher volume in from domestic market this year, will that have a positive impact on the working capital? Because generally export require higher working capital, sir.
We are expecting exports to be static or marginally improving. So I would say working capital cycle will not be unduly increased with regard to sales.
Yeah, so working capital to sales figure should increase, no, sir, in that case, because our domestic share will go up, and generally domestic share means domestic business is lower working capital. So the numerator in the working capital will be, but the incremental in the working capital should be lower than the incremental in terms of sales, sir. Is it a right estimate?
That would be a reasonable conclusion to come to. But mostly,
perfect.
Customers pay reasonably on similar times. So I would say yes, post it's slightly biased towards lesser working capital requirements.
Okay, sir. Perfect. And sir, any outlook on the debt repayment side and the capex, sir, for next year?
About 90 crores of debt is required to be repaid. And we have planned the capex in the region of around 300 crores.
for FY23, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, last question, sir. What is our current capacity utilization level, sir?
You can
do it. We have around 1 lakh tons.
Our 6,300 ton press is getting commissioned only this year. So we have about 60%. Quick number is 60%.
Okay. Okay, so we have adequate sir leeway for this. We are only at 60% in that case, sir.
Yeah, we are only at 60%.
Okay, and we can go up to if required, sir. We can just hypothetical question, sir. Maximum capitalization can be as high as 85 to 90%, sir.
Yeah, easily.
Thank you, sir. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Jeetu Punjabi from EM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks so much for all the explanation. I have one very fundamental question. Can you give us some color on your comments which said that the European orders, I mean, US will be marginally up and others could be flat to start a little south. What are customers doing? Are they cutting back on volume guidance or are they just totally pulling back? Or can you just give us some color on that what is actually happening in those markets and what's driving those decisions?
See, with trade between Europe, Western Europe and Russia grinding a halt, the requirement of trucks in the European market would definitely come down. And consequently, we will see a difference in those markets.
And the U.S., yeah, is the guidance still
should chug along, barring a severe recession.
Okay.
There is still pent-up demand in the U.S. market, truck market. I mean, people order a truck today, truck delivery is 12 months away.
Okay. And the other question is that your 300 crore capex in the context of this scenario, is that a longer term capacity building exercise or is that
largely longer term? None of that is required to achieve this 80,000 plus tons of production.
Okay. Thanks so much, Chief. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Munjal Shah from Edda Wealth. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted to know more on the 300 crores capex. Okay. One is how much increase in capacity would be because of this capex?
The increase would largely be on the machining side, and on the forging side it would be debottlenecking and a little bit of capacity addition, say about 10,000 tons in terms of capacity for us.
So then total capacity will be 130,000
tons.
Huh?
130,000 tons.
130,000 tons, right?
Yeah.
And so we should expect debt to increase going forward, right?
Naturally. Debt will increase to some extent or be static.
No, because we don't generate that much of cash flow.
We don't generate that much. Yes, debt will go up.
Because, you never know because, as you mentioned, these are challenging times. So to even ascertain on working capital, okay, maybe, we could be sure maybe after a quarter or two quarters. That is what I think. So, in a challenging environment, working capital could be volatile.
Yes. To answer your question, yes, debt is likely to go up.
Okay. And
provided we spend that kind of money, that is also there. If we spend all the planning, definitely debt will go up.
And this capex will be at the existing site or it's a greenfield?
Mostly it will be at existing sites.
Mostly it will be at existing site. Okay. And the asset turnover of this should be higher. Since the bulk of the amount would be spent on machining, okay, should we expect higher asset turnover because of this?
No, the highest asset turnover will be seen in the next, in this coming year, and that is largely on account of investments already made. So I wouldn't attribute it to the investments that are going to come.
No. My question was, this 300 crores, how much revenue can it give? Like, could it give 500 crores revenues? Could it give 600 crores revenues? 400 crores revenues? Any ballpark number on average realizations?
In the region of around 400 crores.
That's what. So it would be 400 crores for this 300 crores investment.
Roughly, yes.
Yeah, broadly. And sir, just one basic question again. So suppose if there is a hypothetical, say there is a 25-30% reduction in raw material prices. Okay, maybe 6 months down the line, 12 months down the line. Okay, how confident are we to then make this 36,000 per ton of EBITDA?
Reasonably, not 36,000 per ton of EBITDA, could come down a little bit or could be static. We have to work
because
on.
Currently we are working at 36,000 rupees a ton.
Yeah. What will also happen is scrap prices will come down with raw material prices.
Hmm.
So EBITDA per ton could come down.
So it won't be static. That also can come down, right? That's what my question is.
Naturally, yes.
And is there possibility also that if the commodity prices comes down, okay, your volumes will increase significantly because there will be more demand?
Correct. The slowdown in export markets is less likely.
Less likely. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Chetan Vora from Abacus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. My questions have been answered, but now I just wanted to confirm this 300 crores will be incurred next year or it is over a period of time?
We expect to incur it over the next 12 to 18 months, largely in a 12-month period.
And any reason still our capacity utilization is quite lower and why we would like to go for such a big amount of capex?
Because these will be into launching newer products or for products where capacity is not available.
Okay. Fine, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Pratesh Cheda from Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have two questions. One on the realization side. So what kind of realization increase are yet to happen on account of steel price, or do you see a situation where this 175 rupee a kg realization which was there for FY22 will start seeing a lower number or a lower print now considering the steel price?
Is this first likely to go up in Q1 due to increase in price of steel, and in Q2 it is likely to crash?
So on a year, on an annual basis, we'll see a lower realization, right?
I can't predict what will happen in Q3 and Q4, but assuming that the trend of Q2 is held, I would say that we would revert back to raw material prices of today, of the previous year.
What about 160? Realization of 160?
No. I'm talking about prices of steel. So I would say, see, look at it this way. April onwards, there is an increase. From June, very likely, July, likely reduction. From that increase. So we are likely to end up September at prices that are very close to March levels. So we would, then you extend the same level of pricing of steel for Q3 and Q4. Okay, so Q1 went up, Q2 went down to let's say March levels. Q3, Q4 are at March levels. Overall, steel price for the year would still be higher than the current year.
Okay.
Maximum, I would say, even if in Q3 and Q4 there were a reduction, I would say end-to-end it will be same as previous year, same as the year under discussion.
Perfect. Sir, my second question is, you mentioned that we'll do about 80,000-90,000 ton volume, and bulk of the extra volume is dependent on India, and within India, we have some new products developed for Indian market. So, here, if you could give some color on this new product and which auto class it is for?
Basically, the CV market and also a lot of parts go into the agri segment.
Okay. So CV it is for MHCV or LCV?
MHCVs and LCVs.
Okay. And my last question is, sir, I was just trying to note down what you mentioned. So you said about 36 rupees a kg of EBITDA, and when I'm trying to do the reverse to figure out the volume, at 36, the volume comes to at about 53,000 tons. And what you mentioned was that you sold about 62,000-64,000 tons, right, for FY 2022. So is there any error in this EBITDA per kg figure by any chance?
If there is an error, I will come back to you.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Subrata Sarkar from Mount Intra Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Sir, just one follow-up, sir. Sir, is there any, like, last quarter we have discussed something, so is there any development on EV side, sir? Have we make any investment or planning to make some investment in near future?
One second, please. Just one second, hold on. Yeah. Sorry, could you repeat your question?
Yeah. Sir, last quarter we had some discussion, so is there any development on the EV side, currently or, in near future, sir? Are we-
Yeah.
Thinking on that?
We are developing. Yes, we are producing a lot of parts for export, which go into EVs. Domestic is a smattering of parts only, and we expect to strengthen our presence in the EV market in the months to come.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Sir, just a small request, sir. We generally, whenever we announce any CapEx or anything, generally we give a disclosure. So it will be great, sir, whenever we make some investment or something related to EV, sir, if in the disclosure we mention that, it will be great, sir.
Sure, sure. It will come.
Okay, sir.
Because that will be, what shall I say, market sensitive. So if you are expecting something that is specific for on the EV side, we will definitely let you guys know.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Shyam Sundar Sriram from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the follow-up, sir. So my first question is on the subsidiaries, between the standalone and the consolidated. When we look at the profit numbers, there is not much of a deviation per se. How are the subsidiaries performing, including the recently Kaforma acquisition that we did, the DVS? If you can share some perspective on that.
DVS could do a lot better. Kaforma is teeny-weeny, but going ahead as planned. But both these are adding to the sales of the parent, to the opportunities that come to the parent. So, simple consolidation itself doesn't do much justice to both the subsidiaries. Of course, Kaforma is yet to, you know, we're just starting to see realizations, on the sales side. As far as DBS is concerned, the subsidiary itself is, what shall I say, could do a lot better, candidly. But overall, MM Forgings has benefited considerably, and I hold that view. That same question was raised a few, I think by you or by someone else, on the running of the subsidiaries. Overall, MMF has only benefited by it.
Understood, sir. Sir, this capex of 300 crores, how much will be machining per se of this, sir? Because I think because machining is usually more capex intensive.
Quick number, this time I'm ready. Quick number, 200 crores on machining, 100 crores on 4G. Quick.
Okay, understood. Got it. And forging, largely like you said, that the bottle, de-bottlenecking and 10,000 tons for the new... Is this also for the 6,300 ton press that we are now commercializing per se?
No. Most of that is... A little bit of that, that is only straggler capex. Most of that is already done. So the press is stroked now and is, the induction heater is ready. Everything has been paid for. So a little bit of tooling has to come and then we're ready to run. So the 6,300 press is almost ready to go.
So with this 100 crores, is there a new press that we are putting up or?
A couple of forging lines we're adding.
Forging lines we are adding. Got it, sir. Sir, with this machining capex that we are adding, now we are at a very good level of machining percentage of revenue, around 50% per se now. How will that change per se going forward? And this is will this also give us more than the revenue? Does this place us in a better position with the customer since we could be a single window supplier rather than having to go from source the same part from multiple vendors, one forging, one machining? How does this strengthen our position with customers, sir?
Yeah. Our sales of machine products is likely to go from 50% to about 60% this year, and is likely to go up to about 65 to 70% levels and stabilize there. So naturally, we have transitioned from being a forging supplier to a component supplier. So that is there. Definitely our integration with customers is far better.
Understood. Got it. So just one other follow-up. Sorry to harp on this particular point. Sir, as we go into the next few quarters, this quarter, for example, we had a mix change per se, and that has also led to a realization drop therein. Is this something more seasonal, or do we expect this kind of mix to prevail into the next few quarters as well?
There's nothing on the business side that would lead to a realization drop. It should be, either just a natural change in the mix, or it should be, I wouldn't say, any concerns or see any concerns there as of now.
Understood, sir. Got it. Because we were also talking of increasing our heavy tonnage in our product basket per se. So that is, and hence I'm a little bit surprised by the mix reversal a little bit per se. That is where I was coming from. How is our heavy tonnage volumes panning out, sir?
Planning out well.
For the full year?
Planning out.
Okay, would you have any numbers that you can share, sir, or I can...
Or internal numbers, so I would like to keep it.
Okay, there. Sure. Sure, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Best wishes. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Munjal Shah from Eda Wealth. Please go ahead.
Sir, if we break all the three markets, US, Europe and India... Okay, and in all the three markets, who would be your competition? Which country would be your competition? Like it will be Chinese, it will be, can you just throw some light on this actually?
Mostly in these three markets, competition will be India.
Okay, so it will be Indian companies who will be fighting for orders?
Mostly, yes.
And there are no other countries which you see as a threat. For example, like China, if it opens up, okay, you don't see as a threat in the form of competition.
No, I don't see much about it.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Annamalai Jayaraj for his closing remarks. Mr. Jayaraj, please proceed with your closing remarks.
One more caller has come. You can call him, I'm saying.
Sure, sir. The next question is from the line of Vidram Mehta from Aditya Birla Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for taking my question. I just had a query on new product. So, what is the contribution of new product for Q4 and FY22? And what I understand, if I understand correctly, probably crankshaft sales was expected to be around, 60 odd crores for FY22, and that is likely to hit, 400, 500 crores. So if you could, in next 2-3 years, so if you could, highlight on that, it would be great.
I don't think I've said 400, 500 crore over the next, assessing on just one par. So I would have to really go back and take a look at those numbers. But new products would have contributed around 30 crores for that quarter at a bare minimum.
And what would be that for full year?
About 70 crores.
70 crores. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And sir, which are the main products which we are working on, and probably what is our target in terms of scaling up this?
The scaling up numbers have already been discussed. They are reflected in our projections. So we expect to do this year anywhere close to 80, in the region of 80 to 90,000 tons.
Okay.
Huge number of parts, starting from arms, steering arms, to front axle beams, knuckles, con rods, crankshafts, camshafts. The list could be, even more longer. Gear blanks. So each product has its own growth story.
Okay. No, sir, where I was referring is that, as a percentage of overall, volume or for, revenue, what could be that, over the next 3 to 5 years?
Can you be a bit more specific? New products as
a
percentage?
So you highlighted that new products accounted for 70 crores, right, for FY22. And if I look at the full year, our top line is like, 1100 odd crores. So, what could be the mix, going ahead? Like, the current new product mix is just 6%. What are we targeting for this new product to contribute, over the next 3-5 years?
Yeah, new products will contribute close to 400 crores in the next few years, easily.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Annamalai Jayaraj for his closing remarks.
We thank all the participants. We thank management for taking time out for the call. Have a good day.
Thank you all. Thank you, Jayaraj.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.